Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome back to Gals on the Go podcast. It's your girl, Danielle.
And Brooke, happy week after Thanksgiving. We're in the holidays.
Yes, guys, we've officially made it to the holiday season, the best season. It's the holiday season.
I know, I haven't even started really with the Christmas music, but I have started with the decor. I have a little mini tree. I have all.
Oh, do you? Oh.
Yeah. I got it from Michael's, randomly enough. They had great deals on
Michael's.
It's only 4 feet, though. Like, it's like a baby tree. Don't you have one, too?
Oh, yeah, so is ours. Yeah, it's definitely no taller than 4 feet either.
Get a little measuring stick and
Should I go measure?
No. I feel like it's like apartment size, because if I had like a mass, I mean, I definitely could fit a tree in here, but like I feel like it wouldn't be proportionally correct. Like, this is like good. Probably you too.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the holiday season. We hope you all had an amazing Thanksgiving and just thought about what you're thankful for during this amazing, also crazy time. And we love you guys so much, and we're so excited. We're just about to start Vlogmas season, so if you don't, subscribe to Brooke and I on YouTube, Brooke Michio and Danielle Carolyn. Yes. Vlogging every day till Christmas for you.
Yeah, I guess people, if you don't know what Vlogmas is, it's just a new video. Technically, it's like unclear when you start. Danielle and I just had this discussion, but it's supposed to be videos every single day until Christmas, like starting in December. But
so get ready.
Do you start? Yeah. Do you start like pre-vlogging for that before? It's the timeline is kind of wonky, but
it's a struggle.
I think the first video should be up when this podcast is up. So
yeah, Vlogmas will be up and ready by the time you guys listen to this podcast. So definitely go check it out. It's a cool way to see. Well, you get a visual of Brooke and I if you ever so desire. And it just gives you more content. We'll still be posting podcasts every Wednesday. Not every day, unfortunately.
We should do Podmas 1 year.
Podmas. I actually thought
you
about that.
You thought
this
of
morning.
The idea. You thought of, I remember you said it 1 year. You're like, we could do Podmas, and I was like, that's crazy. And I was like, actually, that would be fun. But
maybe like when we're living in the same city, or something.
One day. It could be fun to do. Like, I mean, every day is a lot of content, especially for a pod.
It wouldn't be long episodes for sure.
It could be like a little mini sode,
or like 12 days of Podmas.
Oh, that's fun. Like leading right up.
Yeah.
Right before. Or in the beginning of the month. That could be fun, actually.
Yeah. Let us know y'all's thoughts. Give us some DMs.
Y'all.
You know, down here.
Yeah, she's in the southern vibe.
I'm in the south. Well, guys, so thank you all to everyone who partook in the Black Friday sale that we did for our merch. We're so excited to see you guys in your new merch.
Ah, so excited. The quality is just outstanding. We've been wearing ours around.
Can't stop.
That was all that I wore last week. I
literally
the camo set and the gray set, but those, I think the camo is basically sold out when we're recording this, but the gray is still available potentially
in a couple sizes. Yes. I think there's a couple large and extra large light gray hoodies in some large and extra large joggers of the matching. Mm-hmm.
And we are working on a restock, so hopefully in the next week or so we can announce that for you guys. But thank you guys. You could always keep up with us like on social media, which we'll get to, but that's where we always post like when the restocks are coming. Like, we'll post the day before or whatever, give you guys some notice, because I know some of you guys like set your alarms. It's so cute.
It's so cute. And we're seriously so thankful for all of your support. And we, like Brooke said, have been wearing the sweatsuits nonstop ourselves. So we are so excited for you guys to get yours in the mail. Keep in mind, with COVID and everything, shipping may be a little bit slower than normal. We're hoping you guys get them as soon as you can. But please send us your photos, tag us in your pics, your stories. We love seeing you guys in our designs. It's so cool.
It is so cool. So hopefully those will be coming pre-Christmas and stuff like that. It's also like so nice seeing people buy them for their friends and stuff. Like, it's a great
gift. Yes. My friend texted me literally saying, she's like, Danielle, my 29-year-old cousin asked for your sweatshirt for Christmas. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I love it. I think you guys will be really pleased with the quality too. And I do have to say for the joggers, because I feel like I didn't hype the joggers enough. And I know when you see a jogger, you're like, eh, jogger, whatever. Because I originally got mine in a large, which didn't really fit me right. And then I got the medium, which really fits me. Right. I know this is like, I don't have a saggy butt in it. Like, it's tight on the butt, which I like.
Incredible.
I feel like it's the perfect, like, you don't look like, my parents even said I had to say it, because you don't look like a fool when you're like out running errands in this. You know what I mean?
Some you don't look lazy and bummy. Yeah, I get that.
It's the perfect tightness, I think, if you get, you know, your appropriate size, of course, like in the leg. And then it does bunch, I guess, at the bottom. I feel like we're really hyping our merch, but I we love it. We live in it.
No, I hear what you're saying. People sleep on the joggers. They're like, if I can't get the set, I just want the hoodie.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, the joggers are so cute. I've I probably have been wearing the joggers more than the, that's hard to say.
You're but like I, actually, I don't know.
I don't know. I've been wearing both very equally, but like sometimes I'm like too hot to wear the full set. Mm-hmm. So the joggers with like a black crop tank is such a look, or a bodysuit, like a mm-hmm. casual bodysuit, a crop tee. It's such, and they're so comfortable and they're flattering. They're a little bit more tapered, like Brooke mm-hmm. said. So they're, you don't look as like frumpy, should I say, for lack of a better word.
Like if you wear it with like a regular, not a regular top, but like, I guess like a solid color, like it could be a look. Like I'm so
definitely,
but or definitely. You could wear it as a set. Additionally, I do want to say for the sizing, after like wearing it for a while, I would just recommend everybody, like if you're between sizes, go with the smaller size. I think for the sweatshirts especially.
Yeah, definitely for the sweatshirts. Yeah,
yours is a little big on you, and you got it.
It's a little big on me. Yeah, and I also want to apologize. Last week I said I got a large, but then I ended up getting it in the mail, and I got an XL, so I must have said the wrong thing. So I have an XL, but I still probably would get a large if you're in between mm-hmm. large and XL.
I actually would get a large, too, and typically in sweatshirts I get an XL, just for clarification mm-hmm. purposes. And then the pant, yeah, I think I told you guys I usually am a large pant, but I got a medium in the pant. So I would say just generally, like, if you're between size down.
Definitely. Yeah. And you guys are probably like, well, they're all like basically sold out. Why are you talking about them? We will be restocking soon. Mm-hmm. We don't have an exact date. So follow Gals on the Go podcast on Instagram. If you want to be updated more on that, we'll get more into that. But yeah, so there will be more opportunities. Yes. That's why we're like,
thank you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And following up on last week, we are just so thankful for all of you for listening and everything, which I think that's why we want to do something to give back to you guys.
Yes. You guys, we're so excited. We're going to be doing a giveaway. Two lucky winners are going to be winning $250. Gift cards, because we know it's the holiday season.
Cash
money flow. Yeah, you can spend them wherever you want, not one specific store. All you gotta do, very simple, you probably already have done it, so it's pretty easy to enter. Follow at Gals on the Go podcast on Instagram, follow at Brooke Michio on Instagram, follow at Danielle Carolyn on Instagram, and you're entered. We're just gonna go through our followers. Mm-hmm. The giveaway is going to go from today until next Wednesday, December 9th, mm-hmm. and it's going to end that night at 11:59 p.m., so like basically midnight on Wednesday, but 11:59. So yeah, definitely go enter. We'll remind you guys in next week's episode as well. Mm-hmm. Just go follow us.
It's really easy. We're just going to be pulling from our follower list, and we just want to reward someone that's like a really active, engaged follower. So maybe like if it's someone that we've been seeing, you know, is engaging with the post, like liking the post, whatever it is. I feel like I know on the top of my mind, like people that are like super engaged followers, but we're not going to try to be biased. We're going to just do it random. But definitely brownie points to you if you guys are stellar followers. We will say that.
Stellar. Yes. And it's just also a great resource for you guys to follow us on Instagram, because we do a lot of follow-ups. We'll talk about funny things that we talked, or like we'll show funny things that we talked
about
on the episode, like the nail art. What was the other
thing? I posted my green bean casserole.
Yeah. Dude, that was so cute of you, by the way.
Thank you. We had a little disaster with that, but we ended up posting it anyways. We used fresh green beans and not like canned. Canned, I will say, hit diff. Like canned, I'm not.
I actually love canned green beans.
I know you do.
So. They're so good. They're so much. They're not as healthy, like 100%. Yeah, they're so good.
Someone actually told me, they commented my video recently, that frozen vegetable. I guess I don't know about canned, but frozen vegetables have equal amounts of nutrients. I could be wrong on this. This is just by someone's comment. They have equal amounts of nutrients as fresh, which made me feel a lot better, because I feel like
that's good to hear.
Yeah, especially because for us, like people like us, we
Trader Joe's frozen stuff.
it's great. It's handy. You dump it all in a pan and you don't have to worry about, I always like will buy produce and then it goes bad, or I'm eating it and I'm like, is this turned already or whatever, you know?
I know. And it's like, how do I know? Like I'll send pictures to my mom, be like, is this okay? You too.
Or because you'll see the sell by, like pack by date, or but then you get confused, you'll be like, oh, it was packed 2 weeks ago.
I know. So
is that good to go? Like it's confusing. Like I need a clear date on there, good to consume by. Like
yeah, definitely would agree on that. Ugh. Well, yeah, so anyways, go follow us on Instagram. They're always in the show notes as well. And then you'll be entered for $250 cash gift card giveaway.
We know that everybody wants cash. I mean, what's better than cash? Like, cash is king. Is that like the same?
Cash is king, baby. Also, one more little announcement before we get on into the episode. You guys, I am so excited. As you guys know, I've talked about it on the show before. My Doing Well Daily Daybook, my day planner, I have become obsessed with it so much that the founder reached out to me a couple months ago and was like, do you want to make your own? And I was like, yes, because I'm so excited. So I'm coming out with my own day planner, you guys. I am so excited.
So excited. Danielle was like, can I talk about it in the episode? I was like, I think we can arrange for that. Her own so product. Sweet. This is like, it's not just like you slapped your name on there either. Talk about the process.
Yeah. So we Zoom every week basically to design it. So Doing Well Daily, I really love what she's all about. Basically the planner itself is a day planner. So each, you know, when you flip a page, it's a new day. There's no specific dates on it too, which I think is a really cool thing. So you don't have to use it every day. You can just pick it up whenever you want. There's some cool components to it with mine. I added some new sections to it. It's basically a great way to start your morning. On the left page, you write what you're grateful for. There's an affirmation section, personal growth, which is my favorite. There's going to be a different phrase on each day that you trace. And you are also given a little felt marker with your day book that you can trace.
The marker hits diff. It is like all of a sudden, I'm Katie Bellotti out here, calligraphy queen.
Yes.
No, seriously.
Literally. And it just makes you feel like you have the best handwriting. And it's another way to kind of just like manifest that phrase or quote into your day. Like today, mine says, there are people who would love to have your bad days. And keep in mind, I curated all of these. So I went on Pinterest, I did all the things, and I found all these quotes. So these are all things that are very personal to me, if you will, and things that I think you guys will really like. There's also a self-care section. So on there, you would write, like I wrote, you know, spin, kale smoothie, or if it, even it's just doing a face mask. It's not, it's just something self-care you're going to do for yourself that day. How many cups of water you'll have, your mood. You can write what you're feeling, what your outfit vibes are, what music you're feeling. Or like today I wrote, I'm cozy and content. An act of kindness. So I wrote, call my grandma because I need to do that. Then on the right side of the page, I'm just giving you guys a little layout. You can visualize it. It's all on my Instagram and everything. You have a ton of to-do lists for the go-getter. So you've got your get after the day, which is basically your hourly. So you've got 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. You can write if you have appointments, whatever. Your life to-dos is the next section, which I just have like, you know, like buy toilet paper, random like life errands you need to do.
Love that.
Then you have your work and your side hustle to-do list side by side. And so this could be if you are a student or you're not. So work for me is my school stuff. And then my side hustle stuff is YouTube, podcasts, everything like that. So that was a very quick overview, but I'm so excited about it. It's yellow. It's so happy. It's $42. You can get it on doingwelldaily.com starting this Friday. So this Thursday night at midnight, basically. So tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day we go out with it, this Friday, December 4th, it'll be on sale. So excited. And if you want to ask it for Christmas or you want to get it before Christmas, just make sure to order before December 16th. That's the date that we're doing.
Ooh, okay.
So yeah, that's kind
it's
of
such everything. A great Christmas gift to ask for. Honestly, it's the perfect price point. Danielle and I were just talking about this. Planners are expensive. Let's talk
I
about
used
it.
To buy one that was we Brooke and I both used ones that were $60.
Totally. And this I just know it because you've been like Snapchatting me and like obviously throughout the whole process how much time and energy you put into this. I'm so excited to get mine.
I'm so excited for you to get yours.
It is the pen comes with it or is that like an
additional? Yeah, the pen comes with it. What the a little deal. Marker.
Oh, come on. You would pay like $5 or $6 just for that.
Yeah, these pens are freaking awesome. So they eventually do run out, but you get a starter one. It's a great way to start your morning, like I said. And yeah, there's 90 pages on it. So you could technically use it for 3 months, but I don't even use mine every day.
If you don't do weekends, then...
Yeah, sometimes I'll do it on a Sunday... Exactly. Yeah, I had my last one for a while. I just ran out of it. It was like actually perfect timing. So I finally got my new one that I designed. So yeah, doingwelldaily.com. I'll have it all over my social media. I'm also posting a video today on YouTube as you guys listen to this about how I use it. So I'm very, very excited. And yeah, thanks for letting me talk about it.
It's so on brand for you because you're a huge planner.
I've always wanted to do this.
Yes. Seriously, always. So definitely go check it out, you guys.
Yay.
I'm so happy for you. We'll have it linked in the show
Thank
notes.
You.
And I'm sure that we'll be consistently.
It'll be everywhere. Yeah. So get hype. Woo. It's a big episode day.
It is. So should we hop into our business of the week?
Let's do it.
Business of the week.
Okay, so we're talking about Homebodies. So founder and CEO of Homebody, Rebecca Grammer Ybarra, took her journey of incorporating self-care into her fast-paced life and turned it into Homebody. Homebody was created to be a modern alternative to experience whole-body self-care for total wellness. They have a pearlescent herbal bath bomb soak. And these are like an unprecedented game changer because you sprinkle it into the water. And it's they actually have like a whole collection, I guess, of bath soaks. And they have like a bunch of different effects. Like it looks really cool visually, obviously, but it has over 176 antioxidants, a host of plant-based botanicals, premium organically grown herbs, superfoods, active ingredients, vitamin salts, moisturizing oils, whatever. So it's basically like a line of, as far as I know, it's bath soaks. I ordered two for my mom because she loves a good bath. I think anybody who's like a bath lover would appreciate that.
Definitely.
I feel like a good bath.
I've been into the baths lately.
Yeah, I don't really, unless I'm like on vacation or something, but obviously we have not been doing that. But I I did order two for my mom. They're actually available on like Nordstrom, Revolve. Fun fact, Beyonce listed them as one of her picks when she highlighted black-owned businesses. You could check them out in the link in the show notes. They have their own website too, but like they're available like a bunch of retailers, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a great, they're kind of all over the place to find yourself one.
Yeah. I mean, we love CBD overall, so why not like incorporate it in, like, I feel like for muscle recovery and stuff, that's huge, but also just for general relaxation, like moisturizing. I feel like that has
definitely, I have been taking baths recently for muscle recovery. So I feel like the added CBD component would be really good. Cause like I've used like the CBD creams and stuff that we've talked about on the podcast, and that definitely helps with to just sit and soak in one. Heck yeah.
Yeah. And if you're going to take a bath anyways, you might as well like upgrade your bath game a little bit.
Upgrade your bath.
I love, like, I haven't gone to Lush in the longest time, but I used to love getting like the fun colored water and stuff like that. And I feel like this is that, but you also get the benefits.
Yeah, I think you've sold me, Brooke. This always happens.
Yeah, I know. We have some really great businesses lined up too, so keep on listening.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
Thank you guys for supporting the business of the week, because it's so great to see when you guys are like purchasing from them and support. Like, that's the whole purpose here. We really want to show some small biz love if we can.
Definitely, definitely. Well, thank you, Brooke, for that. Now let's get on to our tip of the week.
Ooh. Tip of the week. All right. What quote do we have this week, Danny?
I knew you were going to say that. It is not a quote today,
oh
you guys.
Oh, my God.
I swear it's the days that you're like, okay, what is it, Danielle? I'm like, ah, surprise. I actually do have a tip. It's not a new tip to me, to my life personally, but I realized that I've been utilizing it more.
Okay.
Okay. And I think you're going to appreciate that. I don't know if you're going to appreciate it. Let's see. So, when you're taking Instagram photos, I have recently had a couple instances where, and again, like Brooke and I, we post photos like with outfits, like we want like a good photo. Like people aren't always posting selfies, like I'm completely aware, but I feel like a lot of you guys are little side hustlers and you've got your blogs and your fashion photos, whatever. I've been really into fashion lately, as you guys know, and I've been really trying to get that bold outfit look. And when you hand your camera to, you know, your roommate or whoever you're with, and you're like, can you take a photo for me? It's always like, okay, how's this going to turn out? You can try and frame the photo, whatever. I have found that pretty much it wins every time, and it's a bit of a request. So you can't just like ask anyone this. But if I ask the person that's taking the photo for me to get down and do a low angle photo moment, it works every time. It
really?
Yes. And I think you'd like it.
I'm going on your Instagram to look. Have you posted?
Like my last two photos, so the one in the sweatpants, my last two photos are low angles. And for me personally, I'm 5'3". I'm a little bit shorter.
I see. But it's not absurdly low. It's not like, like tilted. It has a slight tilt.
No. Yeah. So they get down, they do crouch, but then they hold the phone like a little bit higher. And basically it's like your feet are at the bottom of the photo just to kind of lengthen the rest of your body. And I just think, one, it's really flattering. I think that's also why when people meet me, they think I'm taller than I am, because I utilize this a lot.
Yeah.
But I've been realizing, because sometimes, like, I don't know, there's just, I don't like above shots necessarily for like me personally. Everyone's got their own thing, but I have found that it is a winner, and it's not like this whole, like, let's keep taking photos. Like, once they just take a couple of the low angle, I'm like pretty happy with it. I think it's really cool. The only thing I haven't figured out is, like, do you look down at the camera? That's the only thing, because then it's like a little double chin moment.
I was about to say that it wouldn't work for my double chin. It just,
you just have to like kind of
your head in a certain way.
Yeah. Or like look out. But I think it's a cool way to get a bold fashion shot. So you guys should all try it. You could, and that's easy too if you're just doing self timer, because you could just lean it against something and it's a down angle anyways. You know what I mean? You should try that. I don't know. Some people don't like it. I just, that's my tip of the week. Low angle photos. It's a move.
Okay. Well,
give it a shot.
Yeah, literally give it a shot. Like a phone, like a shot.
Give it a shot.
I mean, these pictures look really good, but you're good at posing and stuff too.
No, I mean, I don't know. I found recently that I'm just going to start doing that because that's when I'm like the happiest with the photos, I guess. When it's a full body, if I'm not trying to show the shoes, then I just don't think there's a point.
Well, then I just do like chest up. Like I barely even put the pants in it. Like I'll put like half a pant, like, you know, from like, waist up.
Yeah. If you're just trying to get a good photo of your outfit, highly suggest.
Cool. All right.
So yeah, what's your tip?
Mine is specific. Not really. No, it's to all my single gals out there in the holiday season. I did a thing. I tweeted about this yesterday and I got a lot of support actually. I just decided for the holiday season, we also don't really know what's happening in New York right now. It's just even more strange times. I feel like most people left like completely either for the holidays / I think that we might be going on lockdown. I'm not really sure like what the vibe is. It doesn't matter. If you're single, I'm going to challenge everybody to delete the dating apps. And I know this is bold. You might be like,
oh, I didn't see this tweet.
I know I did. So I was just really frustrated. Honestly, it's a habit when I'm on my phone. The last time I went on a date was like over a month ago, but I'm still matching with people having like these terrible conversations and just really boring ones. No one has stuck out. But I'm also like half in it. Like mentally, I was like not fully I was like, oh, I guess I have to do this. I'm single. Like I should be doing this. But my heart wasn't fully invested, I guess. And I was just getting really frustrated and everything. And you know what? I always open up the apps too. Like if I'm circling through like Instagram, Twitter, like the dating apps are honestly in my rotation just because I'm like, let me check like who's liked me, whatever. Let's see if anybody new is on it. And I didn't like the way that I was using them. So I said, you know what, Brooke, for the month of December, we're going to delete them. We're going to focus on work. We're going to focus on family and just focus on me a little bit. And then maybe January we'll re-download. So
I love that.
Yeah. Get them off your phone too, just so that you're not even like tempted to look. I don't know. I didn't like deactivate my accounts or whatever. I just like deleted the actual app. So I think you could probably still find me on there. I don't know how that works. I think you might have to.
Because like I saw this thing, I think it was like Call Her Daddy or something. She was like, oh, like if you find your boyfriend on Tinder, like, and he says that he deleted it, don't listen to that because after a week it goes inactive. Like if they delete it, so they still be on that shit.
Dang.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know that. So also tip for my girlies out there as well. Don't let them tell you that.
I just think it's a weird time in life in general. That's like what the general consensus was on Twitter. Like a lot of people were like, you're so right. Like it's a weird time. It's honestly not a good time to date. Like it is not, you're not in your normal social element. Like it's just, it hasn't over the summer and like even early fall, it was fine. But now as we go into the cold winter months, like, but do you, obviously if you're passionate about it right now and your heart is in it, like I say, go for it. But for me, I think for me personally, my mental health, like, have you seen those TikToks? Like for me?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, I also think, I mean, you're so right with everything you're saying. And like, the holidays are more of a serious time, I feel like, in the sense of dating, where let's say you went on a couple dates, it's like, then you go home for Christmas and it's like, oh, like, are we going to like, I mean, you wouldn't do the holidays together,
no,
but you know
but
what I mean?
Like, it puts more pressure now.
Yeah. And then it just gets confusing because then you're like in your holiday feels and you're thinking about, it's just not worth it. Holidays are, I mean, just, or if you want to do a holiday, that movie was good. I ended up watching it.
So cute.
Yeah. If anything, just have a holiday, but don't. I think that's a great advice, Brooke. I think that's very empowering. I think December is a great time just to focus on family.
Yeah. I've never actually deleted the app. Like I've been on them, I feel like, now for like a year or two, like all of them basically, including this new one that is really freaking cool. It's called Locks Club. It's like for Jewish dating. Really cool. I was enjoying them, but I just wasn't fully passionate. I knew realistically, I was like, I know I'm not going
to
go on
it's
any
not
dates.
The right time to
yeah,
date.
Like yeah, I saw my I next that. Few weeks. I was like, I'm even if this person is the perfect person, like I'm not going on a date with them. So what's the point if I'm not in it?
I would agree. I think that's really mindful of you, honestly.
Thank
to do
you,
that
Danielle. So I think it's fun tip. To do it all together, like if it's like a group of us and we're like, hey,
yeah, you hey. All should join Brooke in on this. A cleanse, if you will.
it feels like that kind of. It's also not occupying the space. Like I know people delete their social media apps. I don't do that, but delete the dating apps, that's doable for me.
I like it a lot. Good tip. Thanks. Let's go on into our current favorites.
These are a few of my favorite things. Myself all of my favorite things.
All right, you guys. I have discovered my new favorite wardrobe staple. And that is the shacket, also known as the shirt jacket. It's incredible. It's also better for people, I think, maybe that live in a little bit of warmer climates right now. I don't know if you're living in New York City, if this is the vibe. Well, you said it's kind of warmer today. But basically, it's a shirt jacket. I've got a couple now. I have this vegan leather one from Shop 12th Tribe.
I've heard of them.
They have really cute stuff. And then I also have a brown one that I showed in my haul last week from Abercrombie and Fitch, actually. That's really cute. And then I also just got this one from this website called The Foxy Kind. That's plaid. And I like these shirt jackets because they're basically like button-down shirts, but they're a little bit thicker. So that's why they called them these shirt jackets. They're great just to throw over. They look good over like sweats and a crop top, or if you're wearing jeans and a top of any sort, you can throw these on. It's really nice when it's kind of that like 50, 60 degree weather and you can't just wear nothing, but you don't want to wear like a puffer. It's been the best thing and I can't stop wearing them. And a lot of people are asking where they're from. So those are my three that I have, and it's definitely my new wardrobe staple.
Nice. I'll have to check it out, I guess, and see.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Brooke? Like, yes. The collar. Yeah.
No, yeah, I like that trend. I honestly really love, I forgot, like, because I've just lived all over the place and I feel like, I don't know, sometimes I don't try, but I love winter fashion, like layers and like jackets.
Puffers.
Yeah, it's cozy. Cute. I even love, I just got like a trench coat kind of thing from Everlane that I really
like. So New York of you.
I know, right? But you honestly need to like layer up with sweaters underneath it because it's cold. But I kind of like that look of like a high neck and then like the jacket,
so
and like
bold.
A scarf,
yes.
Even like I think it's cute and cozy.
I love winter fashion. I would definitely agree with you there. What's your favorite?
Thanks. So my favorite is another show. We're just talking about shows all the time, apparently. I've been big on my watching game. I guess I'm not dating, but I have time to watch shows, so that's me right now. It was really popular this past week because it was just the finale of The Undoing.
I already know it. I knew when you posted on your story yesterday that's going to be her favorite. Is it good?
Yes. I mean, I've definitely seen better shows before, especially the ending. Like, I was like, that was good, but it was predictable. I'm not going to give any spoilers. But it's Nicole Kidman it's Big Little Lies vibes. Have you ever watched that?
Yes. Okay. Then I'm definitely going to like it.
It's very similar, but it's like housewife murder mystery, like that. It's for viewers of, yes. But it was like a whodunit sort of mystery thing. Like, it's like, ooh, they tell you on the first episode what happened and then like they're unpacking it the rest of the show.
Okay.
But it's a limited series. I don't think there's going to be a season two. So another one of those like bingeable, like watch it. I mean, definitely rated R. Again, someone messaged me, is it appropriate to watch with my parents? Definitely not.
I appreciate those warnings because there's nothing worse. Oh my God.
Oh, nothing worse. I was like, there's lots of nudity. Like, I would not, you know, like
they did that in Big Little Lies too. Some of those scenes are a little fun.
Yes. Probably not a parental watch too. Maybe like with a significant other because you can not be awkward about it. But like...
Yeah. It's still kind of awkward significant other, I've decided.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because what do you do? Me. You look at each other? You look at the screen? Like, do you comment
it's
on
like,
it?
I actually don't love it. It's just borderline the same kind of vibe. But maybe it's a little better than parents, but...
Interesting. So it was good. It wasn't like a whatever, but I caved and got HBO Max because it's like a 7-day free trial. So I'm going to cancel it now. That's a little life hack.
That's where the Gossip Girl reboot's going to be on too.
Really?
Yes. I believe HBO picked it up, which apparently is why it's going off of Netflix. And I want to cry.
That would make sense because HBO Max does have a lot of great content on it.
That's who's doing
it. This is my thing and I'm here for it. I love streaming services. But how many do we have? I mean,
it can't keep up. Can we just make one?
Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, HBO Max. There's like Peacock now is another one. Apple TV. If you're paying subscriptions to all of these, that's like $100 a month. Like,
it's more than cable at that rate.
So I pick and choose my battles. And I don't know.
Isn't there an HBO extension for Hulu or is that not apply?
Yes, but I think I didn't even look at the rate actually. Cause that might be smart.
Cause I have that. So maybe I can.
Oh, okay. All right.
Cause that's how I watch Big Little Lies. How did you watch Big Little Lies?
HBO. But at that time I was using a friend's account. And then it changed to HBO Max, and I like don't know if it's confusing. Like a new account or whatever. Yeah, it's I'm here for using friends' accounts and stuff like that, but only if you like, and then you have it on file for however long, and then now I like lost it.
It goes away.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, I didn't want to re-ask. You know, I thought that it was like her family's account. I felt bad. I was like, this is like your parents' like account that they use for like their cable. Like, I was like, okay,
that's funny.
Like, yeah, I don't need the password to that. It's okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally fine. Well, you've definitely sold me. I saw pretty much every single person I follow on Instagram talk about The Undoing, so it sounds like it was a
yeah, it was a big
show.
Like celebrity hit, like Travis Scott, yeah. And all those people were like Nicole Kidman.
She's so awesome. I love her.
I know,
she's
such
great
a queen.
Actress.
She really mm-hmm. is. Her hair, her outfits inspired me. She's like she wore
yeah, that
trenches.
Curly hair.
Yeah, the hair, everything. So definitely go watch that. Not with your parents. But today's episode is really exciting. Now that we got the intro out of the way,
yeah. For real.
This is fun. We have a true gal on the go today. Her name is Mel Willis, and she is the creator and the owner of Indigo Vintage Cooperative. So Indigo is like a resale company, I guess. What do we want to call it? Not a thrift store. That I don't want to downplay it. Like it's
she like flips clothes. She's so cool.
Yes. And they have funky, unique pieces. And it's like a new wave of this vintage commerce. We also just love absolutely that Mel is. So she's the employer now because she's the creator and owner. And she has like all these employees. And she's creating such an inclusive space in such a male dominated industry. She's all about diversity, creatively, all that stuff. And I think in the interview, too, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of managing vintage pieces with like fast fashion. Creating sort of a balance with all of that. I know that's a really hot topic, especially in the holiday season.
Yeah. We are so excited to talk to her. So that'll be the rest of this episode. Thank you guys so much for sticking around. Make sure to follow us on Instagram for the giveaway and mm-hmm. let's chat with Mel.
Let's chat. All right, guys, we are here now with Mel. Hello, Mel. Welcome to Gals on the Go.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Yes. Do you go by Mel or Melissa?
My full name is Melissa Willis, but I go by Mel.
Okay, cool. Well, we're so excited to have you here. We found you from your TikTok that you posted that went viral, the one like about your life story. It was amazing. But I figured we could start off with just a little bit about you growing up, college, if you could do the little story bit.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm actually from California, specifically San Francisco. That's where I was born and raised. When I kind of grew up a little bit more, my parents moved out of the city. So I've also experienced like suburb life, I would say. That's kind of where I started getting into vintage and like used clothing. I was used to being in the city. And my mom back then was like a single mom. So she would take us to thrift stores and, there's not a ton of thrift stores in the city. So when we were in the suburbs, that's where we would kind of find our clothes. And it started out as like an economical thing. So when I was growing up, and going into high school, then it started to be like a more trendy and fashionable thing for me to find like more affordable, I would say cooler clothes. And then, yeah, from there, I just decided to stay in Northern California, and I went to school at University of the Pacific in Stockton, California, first semester actually only. And then I didn't tell my parents, and I ended up transferring back to an art school in San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
And when they found out, that was just like a whole thing, and I ended up transferring back to the University of the Pacific, where I walked but did not receive my degree. And yeah, now I'm here without a degree, but a small business owner, and really into sustainable fashion and vintage and all that stuff.
Oh my God.
Wow, what a journey.
I feel like it started really young, like your interests and stuff, which is really cool and interesting, I guess, that you were able to go full circle, which we'll get there. But before you started working for yourself and created this whole amazing business, you worked in corporate. So I would love to hear a little bit about that. I know a lot of our listeners are like in college, you know, starting to apply for corporate jobs. And was it just like something that you were frustrated at? You didn't really think it was like a great fit, or did you love it and...
Yeah. So it's really interesting how I started working at Poshmark. Like I said, I've always been into like reselling clothing or vintage clothing. So that was like a huge turn on for me. I would say everybody in the Bay Area goes into tech at some point in their life. And
I would imagine.
I like really didn't want to. Like, I was like, I don't want to be a techie. I don't want to be a techie. But I was like, you know, this is okay. It's fashion tech. So actually how that came about is I was an event planner for Poshmark, which is like, sounds like a dream job, right? I was traveling all over the country. I was planning parties. Like, I was doing all these cool things and events. And Poshmark's really great. They give you like free food every day, catered from local businesses. And wow. It was like, we had happy hour literally every week. So it was a dream job of mine at that age. I just don't think I was like ready for an adult job, or I don't know. I'm an Aries. So I don't know if that plays a part into me having to work
so much
for myself. but yeah, it was a great first experience as a real job. And I definitely wouldn't trade that experience for anything. But it didn't last very long. Obviously, in the TikTok, I was only there a few months before I was fired. I think they could tell my head was kind of in the clouds and maybe I wasn't just in it all the way, or I don't know. But it just didn't work out for them. And it was really like a hard time for me to get through. But I guess my business came out of it. So I'm really thankful for being fired, I guess.
Shows how everything really happens for a reason, even though at that point it might not feel like it.
Right. Yeah. I was super bummed.
I bet. Wow. What Brooke was saying is so true too. Like, you clearly have had an interest in this for a very long time and it just became so organic. When was like the, you know, so working in event planning, was it like, what were some pros and cons of it? What did you like about it?
I've always loved events. There's just like this adrenaline that you get from planning an event. Even in college, I was on student body event planning team. So we were able to like bring musical artists to our school. Like, we've had like Diplo and like Kehlani and stuff at our school. I know it was a private school. We had like a terrible like budget, but I mean, it was like a huge budget for all of these artists. But like, they gave it to college students to like plan these events. Which is just like, we just like want G-Eazy at our, you know what I mean? Like, it was just so interesting. But there was always something about events that have always been like bringing people together and like just doing fun stuff. And that's what I really truly wanted to get into, which is funny because now I'm actually back in events. Like, it's weird. It's just like a full circle all the way around.
That is so interesting. So then you transitioned, which is just so commendable because you were down and you pulled your way out of it and now you are soaring. Incredible. I feel like you have such a good like success story. So what was the timeline like in terms of your job ending, mm-hmm. kind of starting Indigo? Was that like pretty quick after, or did you like give yourself some time in between?
It was, honestly, I started Indigo at first. It was before it was Indigo. It was Tienda de Luna, which it's like, you know, when you start your first business and then it grows into what it's supposed to be, that's kind of the first phase of that. It was something that was for myself, but it was also just a means. So I needed to make money. So I was like, well, I have all these vintage clothes. At first I just started selling to like Buffalo Exchange and Crossroads. And they would take all my stuff and I'm like, okay, so at least I'm picking good things. And then from there, I made my first purchase, which was a 1987 Chevy 8 G30 van, which is just like this huge, ginormous monster of a van. It was super cheap. It was like $2,000, but it ran, and that's all that mattered to me. It was my first adult purchase. I decided to like pack pretty much my whole life into it, and then I drove down to LA, where I lived for 6 months. And if you know anything about LA, that's like the biggest vintage scene in, I would say, in the United States, and then New York probably too. But they have markets there every weekend. So I was selling at every single market every weekend and making money that I honestly was making more money at the markets than I was at my full-time salaried job in the Bay Area, which is kind of crazy.
That's when you know.
Yeah, and then that made me kind of sad because I was like, wow, I was getting all these perks at this corporate tech job, but I was extremely underpaid. But I don't know. Maybe it's not – maybe it just like worked out in a different way. And I know you have to start at the bottom and work your way up. So, but yeah, sorry. I'm not sure if I'm like going off track on this, but that's,
We love this. We're very stream of consciousness.
How I transitioned from not having a job, getting a van, going to LA, selling in markets, gaining the confidence and meeting the people and the friends to start my own brick and mortar up here in the Bay Area, which we don't have a lot of like new age vintage in this area, I would say. We really kickstarted something here with Indigo Vintage Cooperative in our first location in Berkeley, California.
That is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, how did you like know how to do things? I feel like that's everyone's question. Like, oh, I want to start a business. Okay. Then how? How am I going to, you know, like rent out a storefront? How am I going to, how did you find the money to even buy the inventory for your first market? Like all of those questions kind of come into my mind.
Yeah. Honestly, I know everybody says this, but it's actually true. Like I had no idea what I was doing. Absolutely no idea. I was, well, how old was I? Maybe I was like 22, 23 years old and had absolutely no idea what I was doing. For the markets, if you're starting out small, my biggest advice is just like free inventory. So already vintage and secondhand clothing is pretty fairly cheap to resell. But for me, it's like I have a mom, I have a grandma that has old clothes. Like you would not be surprised. Like you would be so surprised by how many grandmothers have vintage Levi's jeans just sitting in their closet or their storage. So like it's pretty like getting that money to start off is you kind of have to be a little bit thrifty about it and build up your inventory. There's also like places where you can go that you can sort through clothing and buy it by the pound, which is the cheapest way to get inventory. I'm not sure if you're familiar with like the Goodwill bins, but that's where a lot of resellers go, especially young ones that are starting out.
I didn't know about that. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's there. I believe they have them in every state because they have Goodwill in every state.
Is it basically they give you a bin of clothes and you have to just like see if you like anything in there, or do you get to like pick stuff to put in the bin?
So there's two ways to do it. Obviously with COVID it's weird now, but traditionally how it works is there's these big tables, they call them tables, they're really just these big bins of clothes that are just in the bin, and it's random. Like you can get anything from like children's clothing to like really good vintage, and it's kind of crazy if you've never been like going into the bins. Like for me, my first time, I was just shocked at like the people like going through stuff really fast trying to get the best stuff. I was very intimidated, but I actually met like a really cool vintage seller that like helped me out and like took me under their wing and was like, okay, this is how you grab stuff, you make friends that sell other things. Like people make livings off of selling like Lululemon, you know, because it has a good resale value. But for me, I'm not looking for Lululemon. I'm looking for, you know, like that vintage t-shirt or that vintage 90s dress. So I would, you could do like trades and stuff and like, here's this Lululemon, can I have that like 90s rock tee?
Wow.
So it's very an interesting culture to get into, but I would highly recommend looking into the Goodwill bins if you're starting out and reselling vintage.
That is so interesting.
Yeah, it's a whole new world.
I was going to ask also in terms of like inspiration, like how do you know what to look for? Like you said, Lululemon isn't your thing. So do you just see what's trendy? Because I feel like that, you know, a lot of those like 80s, 90s styles are coming back right now. Is that what you go based off of?
So I like, there's so many things to resell and it really truly goes off of your own personal style. I think that's the best way to become a reseller. If you sell like just what's popular, you're not going to be able to develop your own personal style, and then your customers are kind of going to not see like a consistent curation, at least for me. But there are resellers out there that'll grab everything from Lululemon to vintage shirts, and they'll just sell everything. Those people are really smart because they're getting the best of all the worlds.
Yeah.
I just personally can't curate something that I don't wear or I don't really like to curate.
I love that.
There's different ways to tell how things are vintage or what style it's from, especially because there's a lot of reproductions. Over the years, I've learned constantly, and it's mostly just from people telling me or me asking questions.
That is so interesting. I'm still stuck on the idea of like, that's such a good idea to like be like, hey, I have Lululemon. Mm-hmm. I know this is what you're looking for. You have that awesome band tee that I'm looking for. That's so interesting. And wow, I'm learning so much from
you. And I've definitely seen, like I've been to the Melrose Trading Post. Mm-hmm. I know you have too, Danielle, right? Like where you see these big open markets and like,
yeah,
I guess that's a really big business opportunity. I hope people are listening for a little side hustle idea.
Yeah, I'm hopeful my vintage friends aren't being like, oh, you're giving away our secrets, but whatever. I think that everyone should share knowledge and everyone should be able to eat.
I really appreciate that. I'm all here for like free knowledge too.
Yeah.
Every single secret. But at the same time, for people out there who are looking for a second source of income, like I know this is amazing. And it's great for sustainability, which I would love to talk a little bit about.
Yeah.
So I'll just be really transparent with you. Danielle and I are definitely not the best when it comes to monitoring our clothing production and all of that stuff. Probably a little bit too much fast fashion. So I would love to hear your take on fast fashion just in, mm-hmm. in general? Like, I know you're going to tell me it's bad, but like...
No. Like, I, as a vintage store owner, like, it's not like I exclusively only shop vintage or only shop resale. I would think that's impossible. There's just things that aren't made in the 90s that you can get today, or yeah. that's not going to, like, last the same. I would just say my general rule shopping for myself, I try to buy things either like resell a secondhand, obviously, or vintage. If I don't buy vintage, I will try to buy designer or small batch, like small handmade things, like labels, I guess, independent labels, like one just to support the independent labels or like woman owned or BIPOC owned brands. So I'll definitely shop those new. For the designer, why I would to buy designer or nicer brands is simply because if I buy something, I don't know, like a designer brand, I know I can resell it. So, but if you buy something like, I don't know, Forever 21, for example, there's no resale value in that. I'm just buying it once. It's a single use. No one's ever going to see it again. Like, that's the one thing that I see a lot of in, like, thrift stores or Goodwill bins. It's just a ton of Forever 21, H&M, like, all these things that are worn once, they fall apart, and then they're not usable again. So that's what's really turned me off from brands like that. But definitely, like, there's still good quality brands out there that will last a long time. You just have to find them. You have to spend a little bit more money, but spending that extra, I don't know, like $20 to $50 on one item, at least you'll be able to make that money back or keep it for a really long time.
Yeah. I was going to say more from the perspective of like someone who's not looking to flip, just like, but that does make sense. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing like in the piles, I guess, at Goodwill and stuff, more of that H&M, Forever 21, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
In terms of that, but it's just more readily quantity wise, like there's more of it.
Yeah. So even if you're not like, even for me, just my personal stuff, even if I'm not going to resell it, I'll know that if I donate it to a Goodwill, it's not going to end up in a landfill because the people shopping those stores are still looking for like quality items or things that'll last a little bit longer. And then there's also like this, the ethics behind like fast fashion mm-hmm. too. And just like the industry and where things are made and how much, you know, like carbon emissions from factories, like there's really so much, and it's so hard to kind of put into like simple words, but definitely I love resale, even just for the price, like going on Depop. If you really love something too, like, and you want it, like definitely buy it. And also though, before you do, maybe just check Depop really quick and make sure someone else didn't buy the wrong size, you know, and at least you know you're helping at least a little bit in that aspect.
Yeah, because I think we were trying to see if there's a way to, you know, kind of balance the between of shopping fast fashion and trying to be sustainable at the same time. And I think that's a great idea, actually. I never really thought of that, to check Depop or, you know, something like that to see if they have it. Because in a way, then it is kind of getting used twice by two different people.
Yeah, you know, someone will wear a really nice dress, even like a Reformation dress for a wedding, and they're only going to wear it once. And then it's like you can get that same dress that's only worn once. And give a second life. And then when you're done with it, maybe you throw it up on your Poshmark and then someone else can wear it.
Yeah, for sure. And also, obviously, we're highlighting Indigo Vintage today, but do you have any favorite like sustainable brands that you personally like to shop from, or any stores in general?
Yeah, I mean, all of my favorite stores obviously are going to be vintage shops, but there's this one brand that I actually just purchased from on Black Friday. Like, so on Black Friday, I was like, I want to do my shopping, of course, but I also try to support, you know, my local brick and mortars, of course. But there's this brand called Frankie Collection. I think they're based out of LA, maybe, but they do really, really sick reworks. So they have like, they're amazing. Like, they have these little mini purses, I would say, and they're made from like men's Nike and Adidas windbreakers. So there's these really cute little like bags.
That's so dope.
There's so like many cool like reworks and things that are being made from like sustainable materials. I got this on Black Friday. They were having like a 50% off sale, and I got these Adidas corsets that were made out of old Adidas sweatshirts. And you know, corsets are so in right now. So I was like, oh my gosh,
so
cute, and 50% off. It's sustainable. So that's definitely a brand. They're called Frankie Collective out of LA.
That sounds awesome. I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. I mean, I have stores and the markets that I do. I just shop every time I'm there, so it's hard not to get, like, you know, get things from other places.
I bet. No, support your local brick and mortar for sure.
For those people, though, that are like, let's say, college students, like on a budget, and they do care about the environment, but what's financially realistic for them to like shop at right now is a Forever 21 or something online. What advice would you kind of give to them, I guess, in terms of saving money, but also like trying to be a little bit more ethical? Like, is there a good place to start? Maybe like you can go thrifting every month. Like, what would you say to someone like that?
So if you're trying to make the switch and you are definitely on a budget, I would do a couple things. Like, one, I mentioned before, just checking really quick, like Depop and Poshmark for that same item that you want. And then two is trying to go thrifting. I know it's hard. It's like a monster for some people, but it really is worth it. You really will find gems. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the thrift store looking for vintage and I've left with like designer pieces or just like really good brands. I see Reformation and Love and Lemons a lot, especially in like California. If you don't live in California, there's also like, you might not get those good brands all the time, but what you will get is really good vintage, like really good 90s, like quality items. So yeah, definitely the resale apps, definitely thrifting, and then a lot of local businesses that aren't like specialty vintage, they're starting to pop up everywhere. Like just being on Instagram, it's hard because with like these new young business owners, they're not on Yelp, they're not on Google. You kind of just have to like drive around and find them or look on Instagram and see what people are tagging. TikTok is a great resource for finding, you know, vintage in your area. If you look up your hashtag in the city, I found so many businesses I didn't even know existed. So yeah, definitely being in the loop on social media.
So when like I'll be talking to my friends about, you know, thrift shopping, vintage shopping, whatever, maybe we always talk about how you have to be in the mood or you have to have a certain mentality. What kind of mentality do you go into it? Are you like looking for, like, I am looking for dresses, or do you just kind of look and see what gems you can find?
For me, if I'm going in looking for myself or I'm with my friends, I know where to look. So I'm like, okay, I'm looking for women's dresses. I'm going to look in the women's dress section. That's the great thing about thrift stores is they're mostly pretty organized upon like what styles. If you're looking for a specific item, you have to look at each and everything on that rack or else you're not going to find that one gem. If you're not picky and you're just like open to it, then that's when you can go through and just kind of like, you know, go to each different rack and look through things, and only pull like what catches your eye. Don't spend time looking at everything or else you're going to get exhausted really fast.
True.
But yeah, there's so many gems, and like I've never went into a thrift store and left empty handed. Even if you don't find anything in the clothing section, the home section always is really cute, like cheap decor.
So true.
I would love to circle back a little bit more on you and your business, just because I find it so incredibly fascinating. So now that the business is like a little bit more established, obviously, and you have multiple businesses as it is, what is your kind of current role? What's a day in your life like?
So I'm definitely all over the place all of the time. I went from one store being the only worker at that store to now I have three locations, a full team. I have full-time employees with like health benefits. It's kind of crazy. Like it's just,
oh my God,
it's the weirdest. It's so weird. It's a weird transition for me, but really I'm doing a lot of the stuff that I was still doing when I first started, and I haven't handed off things like curating and, buying, just because that's kind of what made me interested in this. And if I didn't do that, I honestly probably wouldn't be happy. So I definitely make the time, even though I do have a lot more on my plate, to keep doing the things that originally made me want to start a business. But yeah, the day-to-day for that is like anywhere from just meetings all day, to coming to the shops and restocking for holiday. I do a lot of that. I do a lot of, we have to hire a lot, which is weird, but like we hire for a lot of random things. I just hired on a personal assistant for the first time ever, which is kind of crazy, but,
oh my gosh, congrats.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of working with different people, and then things come up daily. So with COVID going on, like that, like our retail changes every day, from something like someone was exposed to, the fitting room bathrooms can't be open to like the county having a curfew. I don't know if you guys are like in shutdown or curfew where you are, but for us, we just got a curfew in California at 10 p.m. So that affects things like events and markets that we have as well. So it's a lot of just like problem solving daily. But it's really fun. Like I'm busy all the time, but I'm having fun all the time too.
Wow. I would imagine. So kind of going back to the origin of Indigo, you said it had another name before. What made you name it Indigo Vintage?
Yeah. So Indigo is a really interesting name and I'm glad that it's not like already taken from like another big vintage or even just a regular store. Cause I feel like there's so many brands out there and all that.
Definitely.
But, Indigo came to me because this is so cheesy, but I went to like a psychic once and she was actually really, really good and like told me a lot of things that maybe I just like self-manifested, but she was the one that actually told me to like go for like leave LA. You're not meant to be here. Go back home. You're going to find what you need at home. And like, she told me I was an indigo child. And I don't know if you've ever heard of the term indigo child before, but it basically is like this interesting person or thing that just thinks that they're meant for something more. And they have this like purpose to like do things and help people, or they think that they're a little different and maybe they act a little different. And when she told me that, I was like, okay, like, I'll take it. Like, that sounds fun.
And I'll ride with that.
Yeah. And then I like thought about that for a while and just, the history of indigo coming from like the dye that they use to dye jeans. And like one of the biggest pulls of what I curate is vintage denim. So it just kind of all tied together. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
Fun story. So with COVID and everything kind of like you having to adapt, are you doing a lot of stuff online or is it pretty much still like all in person? Are you big on that stuff?
Yeah. So it was really interesting. I started selling obviously in person and then I opened a brick and mortar. I had never sold online. Never, never, never. Even working at Poshmark, which is an online app, I've never sold my indigo like vintage online until about a few months ago when COVID hit and I had just opened a brand new location in Santa Cruz 3 days after we were all ordered to shut down for 3 months. And it just cut not only my source of income, my employees' source of income, and all of our vendors' income. And I was like, oh, all right, I guess we're going online. And those 3 months were honestly like the worst 3 months of my life because I really just grew an appreciation for anyone that has an online retail brand or store. It is way more work. It is so much harder, especially with vintage, because you're not only taking pictures of like one thing that you can sell multiple quantities of, you can only sell one thing of one vintage piece. So imagine just like how much work
item you have to list.
Oh my gosh, every single item you have to list. And I found that out the hard way. So after that, we just decided to do these like mystery boxes, which I loved and were so much easier. I didn't have to post pictures of anything. I just posted a box and my customers would buy the box and I would just put things in there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's actually what got us through COVID. That's how I was able to pay the rent. That's how I was able to pay like two of my first employees and my own salary and get us through those terrible 3 months of close.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that you made it is impressive. And you actually started a new business in COVID. So
yeah, I have a COVID business, baby.
Genius.
So-So Market is my COVID baby. I know it's so weird to say COVID baby because I know COVID's such a terrible thing, but like a lot of things have grown from COVID. So many people have started small businesses on TikTok and a lot of things have happened because of people being stuck inside. And kind of that's what happened with So-So Market is we were seeing basically half of our sales when we opened back up and are like reasonably so. People are scared to go outside. People are scared to shop. And that's a good thing. We need to be safe about it. And we were doing everything that we could have done to have a safe shopping environment or stores. But at the same time, we're not going to tell people to come if they're uncomfortable. So that's where So-So Market was born. In July, we had our first one in Berkeley, California. It's very interesting how it happened. The name So-So came from me just being like looking up on, I think it was like thesaurus.com, like average. I looked up the word average because I was like, I don't want people.
Funny.
I know. I was like, I don't want people to have high expectations for this. Like, I was like, I want it to be like like below average. I think I looked up below average. That's actually what I looked up. Cause I was like, if people have expectations, I can just be like, you know, it's so-so, like I don't have any control over it. So that's where the name came from. Just not trying to have high expectations. And then the actual market came from the ability that the only events that were allowed outside were outdoor retail events, like farmers markets. And the reason for that is just how much safer they are compared to shopping inside. And there's like three main reasons for that is just the outdoor air and like the constant like flow of fresh air. The second is more space to socially distance compared to being in a small shop. And then the third, which is, I think is most important, is the vendor to customer supply chain. Instead of going through so many different hands and parties, you're really just the vendors bringing the goods and the customers buying and taking it home. Whereas if it's in a store, it touches so many different hands. It sees so many different people. You don't know how long it's been on the shelf, how many times it's been tried on.
And I'm sure it's great for, I know you've been working with other local vendors and stuff too. So that is so amazing that you're really making an impact in your community.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we started Indigo, is it's not just my vintage. It never was. It was always about all of the local vendors, and we've always done it together. So this market was really just for them to sell their vintage and their resell. And we started opening it to makers, the people that make their own jewelry or crafts or artwork.
Wow.
It's really grown into something kind of crazy these last few months, but we're really, really excited about it.
Wow. Well, I know I'm inspired. I could probably speak for Brooke that she's very inspired as well. And I'm sure you've touched a lot of people and inspired them and motivated them to maybe pick up a new side hustle or just go thrifting. And it's definitely a good reminder for all of us, as we're still not perfect at, you know, balancing fast fashion and sustainability. But you gave some really great points. So thank you so much, Mel. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Would you like to plug everything where our listeners can find you personally and your business?
Yeah, definitely. We are definitely an Instagram business. Almost everything is on Instagram. We do have a website, but I would say our Instagram is the most important. And that's just at Indigo VTG, as in vintage. And then our So-So Market is at the So-So Market.
And yourself?
Oh, and myself. Okay. Personal promotion. I guess you can follow my personal, which is at Mel Willis VTG. On Instagram. Oh, you know, and our TikTok.
The vibe that I'm getting from you is, I'm sure you've seen it and you get compared to it all the time, is Nasty Gal, like the show on Netflix and whatever.
Yes, Sophia Amoruso. Yes.
Before
actually,
it became fast fashion.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. I actually went to Girl Boss. Yeah. I love her. I met her.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, really? You are my girl. Like, we're the same. And she's like, no, I'm just kidding. But she's so fashionable and cool. Like, oh my gosh.
Yes. Very similar. I would say there's a big parallel. I was telling my roommate about who we were recording with, and I was like, she's basically Sophia.
That's a huge compliment. Thank you so much.
Oh my God.
It definitely is. So our listeners will have to check you out and support your businesses if they're in the area. Do you want to shout out the locations, I guess, really quick before we...
Yeah, you definitely
should. We are in Berkeley, California on Telegraph Avenue, just a few blocks from Cal. And then we're also in our second location in San Francisco on the historic Hayden Ashbury Street. And then our third newest baby is in Santa Cruz, California on Pacific Ave right downtown.
So impressed.
When life gets a little more normal, we could go to California. Danielle and I are coming. So
yes.
And we're doing all the shopping.
You have to come to the So-So Markets. Like, they're really fun, super affordable. Like, our shops, I will admit, they're on iconic streets and they can get a little pricey due to like the high cost of living. But that's also why we have the market, is so that people can access vintage at really great low prices.
Of course. Yeah. Well, we appreciate the transparency for sure. Very good to know.
Keeping it real. Well, thank you so much, Mel, for being here. And I hope everybody checks her out. And we'll talk to you guys all with another episode next Wednesday.
Woo. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, which means it's time to find a gift. I always try to decide what to get my mom because I always am so proud of what I get her and she's always so excited. So I feel like each year it just gets hyped up more and more, and I just have to keep impressing her, even though she would literally just love a hug, probably the same as your mom's too. But I love using a gift guide to find a perfect gift for my mom because she doesn't want anything. She just wants love, but she also does get excited when I give her a gift. So Macy's actually has a Mother's Day gift guide that's perfect. You can shop by price. So they have 25 and under to 100 and under. They have categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or you can use the gift list, like for the mom who has everything, or gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted, and for grandma. There's so many different options that Macy's has. Some of their top gifts are the Dolce & Gabbana Devotion Eau de Parfum, Coach Floral Printed Leather Cassie Crossbody Bag, and the Le Creuset Shallot Dutch Oven, of course. So you can shop all of this at Macy's.com/giftfinder.